The good news of the gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The good news of the gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. Today, as I get this set up, today I wanted to invite us to think about a question. For Christ the King Sunday. And so here's a question for all of you, just for us to sort of ponder together. What does our faith have to do with the real world? Does our faith make a difference in the actual physical, material world? Or is this just kind of a spiritual thing? Is this Christian thing just a spiritual thing that we believe in that kind of gives us a sense of inner peace and maybe takes away our fear of death? So when I was growing up in youth group, there was this Christian band named Earth Suit, and I didn't listen to them very much. I don't think they made it very big. but I think I know what that name meant. For some reason, that name stuck with me, Earth Suit. So astronauts wear spacesuits to go into space, right? Astronauts temporarily put this suit on to enable them to visit another place that's not their home. A spacesuit isn't an astronaut's real person. It's just something temporary that they put on. So the band's name, Earth Suit, was trying to communicate the same thing about our bodies. They were saying that our bodies are just these temporary things that we put on so that we can exist and live on Earth. So for them, the Christian faith was all about the spiritual world. The physical world was just this temporary thing that we have to endure. I want to suggest that that kind of faith isn't equipped to make a difference in the real world. There's a type of faith that is only or mostly about a sort of inner spiritual commitment, and it doesn't make a difference in the physical world. There's a type of faith that doesn't really ever challenge the status quo of the material world that we live in. And it never calls us to live out the values of Jesus and how we use our resources. And it never calls us to live out the values of Jesus and how we use our time, which is kind of what we do with our physical bodies. There's a type of faith that does not make a difference in the real world. But that faith is not the kind of faith that Jesus came to show us. So today, like we said, it's Christ the King Sunday, and so it's a day when lots of Christians celebrate this idea of Jesus as our King. It's also the last day of the kind of the Christian year. Both of the scripture passages that we read today talk about shepherds, so in this sermon, I'm going to make an attempt to tie together the idea that Jesus came to make a difference in the real world, and the idea that God is our shepherd, and the celebration of Christ the King. So, and I'm going to do that in about 12 minutes. So it's a package deal for you all. So in the Bible, shepherds are actually a really common metaphor for kings. So when you see the word shepherd in the Bible, try not to think of a romanticized image of Jesus like peacefully sitting on a hillside watching sheep. When you see the word shepherd, try to think of the word ruler or king. So to really understand what's going on in the two passages that we just read, I actually want to go back to almost the beginning of the Bible, to the book of Deuteronomy. And by the way, I want to look at a couple different scripture passages this morning. So if you have a Bible or if you have a smartphone with and you want to like go to a Bible, want to invite you to do that. So I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. If you want to follow along, again, that's Deuteronomy 17, starting with verse 16. So these verses have this really interesting warning for the Israelites for when they set up a monarchy. So this is what it says. The king must not acquire many horses for himself or return the people to Egypt in order to acquire more horses, since the Lord has said to you, you must never return that way again. And then skipping ahead a little bit, also silver and gold he must not acquire in great quantity for himself. So these verses are a warning for kings. It's saying that the king shouldn't own too many horses and shouldn't send people back to Egypt and shouldn't amass silver and gold. So what does that mean? Well, horses back then were a military thing. It's like the ancient version of a tank. So back then, it's a way of talking about power. And silver and gold are talking about riches. So this is saying that the king wasn't supposed to have too much power, wasn't so supposed to amass too much power and too much wealth. It also has this reference to sending people back to Egypt. And that was probably partly a reference to saying that the king wasn't supposed to enslave people because the Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt. So it says to the kings, don't amass too much power, don't amass too much wealth, and don't enslave people. So keep that in mind as we go forward. So we're going to go to Jeremiah now. Our Old Testament reading was from Jeremiah 23. That was an awesome reading. Good job. So we read from Jeremiah 23. We're going to actually look at the chapter right before that, Jeremiah chapter 22. And Jeremiah 22 has this poem. And this poem is basically a series of accusations against the ruling king. So I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 13 and 14, if you're following along. So Jeremiah 22, starting with verse 13. And this is addressed to the king. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbors work for nothing and does not give them their wages, who says, I will build myself a spacious house with large upper rooms. So it's saying that the king is getting rich by building a big house through forced labor. Forced labor is a type of slavery. And then it goes on. I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Is this not to know me, says the Lord? But your eyes and heart are only on your dishonest gain, for shedding innocent blood and for practicing oppression and violence. So it's saying that the king's father, who had also been a king, he had been just and he had defended the rights of people who were marginalized. But this king, the son, was getting rich by committing fraud and violence. So this king was doing exactly what Deuteronomy told him not to do. He's enslaving people and defrauding people so that he can amass power and wealth. So this king is a bad shepherd. That's the situation that our Old Testament passage, Jeremiah 23, is speaking to. So in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, so next chapter over, it starts off, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Woe to the shepherds, woe to the kings who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. So this is a warning for kings who aren't doing what's right. In verse 2, it says that it has God saying to the king that you haven't attended to your flock, and because you haven't attended to your flock, king, I'm going to attend to you. So because the king hasn't cared for his flock, his people, God is going to call him to account. And then the reading ends. It kind of goes on and it ends. It finishes with this actually hopeful note. It says that God will raise up a good king, a good shepherd, who will execute justice and righteousness. And then if we fast forward to our New Testament passage, John chapter 10, Jesus says, and it's actually, we read a snippet of this. There's this long passage where Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd. So our reading started off with, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus isn't just making a charming farming metaphor about how he cares for us. God does care for us. It's a good metaphor. But this is Jesus making the claim that he's the king who's been sent by God to do justice and to set the oppressed free. He's making the claim that he's the king that it talks about in Jeremiah. He's that shepherd. And Jesus is intentionally contrasting himself with the bad kings who oppressed people's physical bodies for their own gain. Where other shepherds have oppressed people and have oppressed their physical lives and existence, where other shepherds have used their position to amass too much power and have used their position to enrich themselves, Jesus is saying that he came to set the oppressed free. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus came, yes, to set our souls free and to heal our souls. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus also came to bring good news to the poor and to proclaim release to the captives and to let the oppressed go free. That's our good shepherd. That's our king. And a whole lot of you instinctively know this. Lord of Life has lots of ministries that put this into action. We have the Thanksgiving baskets and the preschools and Gracing Spaces and Facets and the ESL ministry and the care ministry and the Stephen ministry and the hypothermia shelter and the quilters and more. There's lots that we do to put this into action. But we don't do this stuff just because they're good things that good Christians do. We do this because it's core to following our good shepherd, Jesus, and his work to bring redemption to the spiritual and the physical world. Our Christian faith isn't about spiritual escapism whenever we feel hopeless about what's happening in the physical world. Our faith is about hope for redemption, not escapism. So in the New Testament, the word that we translate as hope, it literally means looking forward to something with confidence that it will happen. So hope is looking forward to something with confidence that it will happen. It's a confident expectation. So it's hope actually isn't a feeling. It isn't an emotion in the New Testament. Hope is our gritty, persevering, determined belief that God is faithful and that God is with us and that Jesus came and is now at work to bring redemption to our world, the physical and the spiritual. Hope is our gritty, persevering belief that Jesus is king and has come to set the oppressed free. And because we have hope, we join in with Jesus' work to set the oppressed free and to bring redemption to the physical and the spiritual world. So, may we be people of hope. And may we be people who follow our good shepherd in his redemptive work to set the oppressed free. Thanks be to God. Amen.